Welcome to AvWeb's audio news service for today, Monday, March 27th, 2006. This audio cast is made possible by Aviation Safety, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention. I'm Mike Blakeney reporting for AvWeb's audio news service. The average GA aircraft is 35 years old, and problems with fatigue and corrosion can crop up at any age. Last week, the FAA met with GA representatives in Kansas City, Missouri for an aging aircraft summit. EAA's Earl Lawrence was there, and he told AvWeb what the main topics of discussions were.
The main subject of the meeting was to gather the industry together to look at the issues of, quote, what's, quote, aging aircraft. And that means a lot of different things to a lot of folks, but we were focusing on maintaining an older fleet as it gets more fatigue and has to deal with more aging issues like corrosion. Generally, we think of that as calendar date, but it doesn't need to be. Could be a newer aircraft. It's just high usage aircraft that see a lot of loads, a lot of fatigue. What can we do to ensure that we don't have wings coming off or tails coming off, and that we ensure that there's safe aircraft out there for all of us to fly?
Representatives from AOPA and EAA agreed that one thing GA doesn't need is more regulation. The rate of accidents due to mechanical causes has remained stable over the past 20 years. AOPA's Luis Gutierrez said the best way to enhance safety and improve the maintenance of older aircraft is to educate pilots and aircraft owners. More maintenance data needs to be made available to aircraft owners and A&Ps to ensure that aircraft are properly maintained, according to Gutierrez. EAA had a more dramatic proposal. Here's Earl Lawrence.
A two-part for us, the industry, to come to some kind of agreement on what do we mean by aging issues, because every group has a different outlook on what the aging issues are. And the second half of it is we put forward a proposal to create a new vintage category. And what that would allow us to do is to create a new system and actually change the system in which we maintain the continuous airworthiness of our older aircraft and reduce the stresses on them by taking them out of commercial service.
The FAA was open to the idea of creating a new category for vintage aircraft, according to Lawrence. It would make their work easier and enable them to use their limited resources more efficiently. But that doesn't mean change will happen overnight. He said a 10 to 12 year time frame would not surprise anyone.
The message that was left with EAA at the end of the meeting was that their objective is not to develop oppressive regulation or to take particular aircraft out of the fleet, but to proactively, before there is a congressional inquiry or before the public is saying ground airplanes out there, come up with a plan to ensure we can keep everybody flying and flying safely and avoid any major reaction to a particular accident. Let's be proactive and put things in place to prevent oppressive regulation.
In their proposal for a new vintage category, EAA and the Vintage Aircraft Association said that such aircraft would not be limited in size or complexity. Part 43 airworthiness regulations would still apply, and aircraft in the new category would lose any privileges to carry persons or property for hire. The owner would have the option to transfer to the new category or not. No specific age limits were proposed. Lawrence said that many fundamental safety issues associated with aging, such as fatigue and corrosion, can be found in aircraft of just about any age, depending on how the aircraft is used and maintained, so aging is not just a matter of calendar years, but a combination of factors. The FAA heard complaints from another segment of GA, the aircraft manufacturers, at a congressional hearing last week in Wichita. Certification delays are now so problematic that they threaten the health and potential growth of the industry, Cessna CEO Jack Pelton told the panel. He cited the example of a 90-day delay in certifying upgrades to a biz jet. Raytheon CEO Jim Schuster agreed, saying such delays could cause the loss of technological leadership and competitiveness in the global marketplace. The Professional Airway Systems Specialists, the union that represents support staff and technical workers in the FAA air traffic system, also had problems last week with FAA management. PASS complained plane that radiation leaks inside a radar facility at Burlington International Airport in Vermont were detected last August, but the FAA didn't alert workers until February. Spokeswoman Laura Brown said the FAA doesn't believe any workers were exposed to harmful levels of radiation. Pass said the incident reflects management's overall negligence regarding safety requirements and cited other issues, including exposure to PCBs and the storage of hazardous waste with inadequate safeguards. Five FAA contract workers in Grand Junction, Colorado, were faced on Friday morning with another kind of on-the-job hazard when bombs were set outside their homes. Three of the homemade bombs exploded and two others were found and detonated by police. No one was hurt in the blast and little damage was done. At our audio deadline, federal agents with the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives were searching for a suspect, a former air traffic controller employed by the subcontractor for the control tower at the Walker Field Airport, who was fired about 2 years ago. Agents said they are taking the case very seriously as the bombs may have been intended to do much worse damage. On Saturday, an Australian research team successfully completed a 10-minute test flight of a scramjet engine. The 4.5-foot-long rocket blasted about 195 miles into space, then with the rocket switched off, plunged back toward Earth. At about 22 miles high, the scramjet engine activated, pushing the craft to an estimated Mach 8, or about 5,000 miles per hour. It crashed in the desert about 250 miles from the launch site. Another launch is planned for later this week. Program leader Alan Paul said it might be possible to have a scramjet-powered vehicle within the next 10 years or so, but scramjet-powered passenger jets are still a long way off. The launch of a privately funded rocket on Friday built by SpaceX didn't fare as well. The Falcon 1 rocket lifted off successfully from its launch pad on a Pacific island, but then caught fire and was destroyed. The rocket is designed to boost satellites and other payloads into orbit. The company says it will try again within 6 months. Some new technology is now in place for GA pilots. The FAA recently said the wide area augmentation system is being extended to allow operations down to 200 feet above an airport's surface. The move will provide more precision, all-weather approaches, and increase capacity at thousands of GA airports. The previous limit was 250 feet. The FAA plans to make these vertical approaches available at airports where there are no instrument landing systems. The first procedure with operations down to 200 feet will be published in 2007. The FAA currently has more than 300 vertical guidance procedures and said it will publish 300 additional procedures in 2006. The FAA also issued a proposed airworthiness directive last week that would affect certain Mitsubishi MU-2B series airplanes. The proposed AD aims to detect and correct improper rigging of the propeller feathering linkage. The improper rigging could result in an inability to feather the propeller, which could result in asymmetrical drag and control difficulties that are outside the operational envelope of the aircraft. The FAA said it's been conducting a safety evaluation of the MU-2B following a series of recent accidents that raised concerns about its handling qualities. About 400 airplanes are affected by the proposed AD. Comments on the proposal must be submitted by May 2nd. An aviation mechanic in Fargo, North Dakota, whose certificate was revoked after a plane crash in February 2005, has now been fined for another incident. The mechanic was taxiing a single-engine airplane in order to perform maintenance work when the plane's propeller struck a pickup truck, causing substantial damage, the Associated Press reported last week. He was fined $2,500, but why was he taxiing the airplane when he had lost his certificate? Although not certified, the mechanic can still perform certain maintenance procedures but can't inspect aircraft, the FAA said. In the 2005 plane crash, federal investigators said the mechanic improperly replaced the oil filter on a Cessna 177RG that crashed shortly after takeoff, and he also falsified maintenance records. The pilot and passenger were seriously hurt in the crash. No injuries were reported in the taxi incident. Well, now you're up to date on Aviation News for this Monday, March 27th, 2006. Thanks for listening to AvWeb's audio news service. This report has been made possible by Aviation Safety, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention. For more information, click on the AudioCast sponsor link. Look for AvWeb's next AudioCast on Friday, March 31st. I'm Mike Blakeney. Thanks for listening.